It's extraordinary to hear all this and to know how short a period of time this knowledge growth was taking place.
Oh, it was multiplying like mushrooms. Yeah,
I'm surprised you ever got to sleep. So what happened then? I mean, so how long before you knew that the likelihood, or the team knew the likelihood that 11 was going to do, was going to be the land and war?
Well, I was the alternate or backup commander for the flight around the moon, Apollo 8.
Right.
And as soon as they took off, I was out of job, of course. And the boss called me in a few days later and said, would you take the third flight down the road, 11? Mm-hmm. No, 8 was in the air. 9 was in the hangar yet. It hadn't started to fly. And 10 was, the lunar module had not flown. There was no way we could predict what each of those flights would do. It was going to depend on the success and the accomplishments of each flight along the build-up period. But Apollo 8 worked well, 9 worked well, 10 did far better than expected, took a lunar module actually around the moon and tried out its propulsion systems and its navigation systems and communicating with 2 spacecraft simultaneously. All these things were accomplished in just those 4 flights. And so a month before the launch of Apollo 11, my crew's flight, we decided we were confident enough that we could try an attempt on a descent to the surface. And I should say that I thought we had a 90% chance of getting back safely to Earth on that flight, but only a 50-50 chance of making a successful landing on the first attempt. There's so many unknowns in that descending from lunar orbit down to the surface that had not been demonstrated yet by testing, and there was a big chance that we didn't understand something in there properly, and we had to abort and come back to Earth without landing. It's a risk-reward equation, and you're able to accept a level of risk so long as it's commensurate with the reward that you will get by achieving the goal that you're after.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of the balance you always make.
Did you ever allow yourself the luxury, and for the time I've known you, I suspect you're going to say no, but did you ever allow yourself the luxury somewhere between 8 and 11 of dreaming of the fact that you guys may be the team that actually does the deed?
No, I can't say that I did.
We were
focused on progress and making those incremental steps, thousands of little incremental steps that got you closer.
Yes.
And we're looking for success in those steps and not focusing on that end goal too much.
So there's the phone call. Neil, it's 11. You're the commander. Your reaction at that point?
Well, you know, I was asked by the bosses, do you think you and your guys are ready? Is there anything that you're really concerned about that you don't think we understand well enough that we can't go on? And so I was involved in those discussions. And I have to say, well, you know, it'd be nice to have another month. But we were in a race here, and there was some evidence that things were going on among our competitors, and we had to take the opportunity when we had it. And I had to say, no, we're ready. We are ready to go.
Let's go to some footage, because this of course, is the launch where all of this emotional journey you took the world on.
Breakfast. Medical examination. Suiting up. Neil Armstrong, Commander Apollo 11.
And who were taping up and getting ready for the adventure of there in the world's life. Can you recall any of your thoughts at that time as you were preparing? Was it all about the preparation? The emotions playing up?
It's a time of meditation and a time when you're focused on what you're really trying to do. But at the same time, there's a certain amount of relaxed atmosphere. And the reason is these rockets, usually don't go off on time.
Neil, I was really excited up to this point.
So you're thinking, well, we'll get down to 2 minutes, and then they'll call a hold, and then they'll cancel the flight, and we'll go another day. So don't get too excited here about this one.
So there was a sort of a built-in, look, this, we're doing our best. It's likely not to happen, so we'll look the part and see what happens.
And you're always surprised when it actually lights and you go.
Tell me, in relation to the noise of all that's going on, particularly, so Neil, it's coming time to land, and as that process begins, you've got a computer malfunction telling you there's something wrong. What's the process you followed at that point?
Yes, the lunar descent from lunar orbit down to the surface is a very complex part of the overall flight. With a lot of things happening simultaneously and not a lot of time to consider abnormalities when they arise. In the middle of the descent, our computer did complain at us that it was having a problem, but it didn't admit responsibility.
Sounds like a modern computer.
I have to admit, I didn't understand the nature of this particular alarm. The computer had a lot of kind of complaints, but I didn't know them all. This one was unusual. And we asked Mission Control on Earth to help us solve the problem, and they didn't take very long to say you're cleared to continue. That it was an overload problem in the computer, but the central part of the computer that was doing our calculations of our position and our navigation was working properly, and that was good news. So we continued on toward the landing site, but then the computer showed us where it intended to land, and it was a very bad location. It was on the side of a large crater, about 100 or 150 meters in diameter, and with very steep slopes covered with very large boulders, not a good place to land at all. So I took over manually and flew it like a helicopter out to the west of direction. Got into a smoother area with not so many rocks, found a level area, and was able to get it down there safely before we ran out of fuel.
Yeah, within what, 20 seconds?
Something like 20 seconds of fuel left.
It's almost like you were planning to prepare a movie here, because everything was just on the edge of everything. Yeah. So the craft's landed. Is there a moment where the three of you at least momentarily acknowledge that moment? Indeed.
We took it was a handshake.
You really went to town, didn't you?
Congratulations, we made it this far.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of work to do at that point, and we couldn't luxuriate in those feelings.
And including getting home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, at the moment, we didn't. We concerned that because the lunar surface is so warm, it's over the boiling point of water, substantially. And so the heat of the surface could affect fluids in the systems of the lunar module adversely. We had to be very cognizant of potential thermal problems that might be in existence, and if it was going to get worse, we were going to have to take off immediately and get out of there. But that worked out pretty well. There were these concerns, but they seemed to be working out satisfactorily, so we agreed that we could stay on the surface a bit longer, but we were going to keep an eye on it for the first several hours.
And your words, people have professed as to why those words and whatever else. So were you, as you were coming closer into land, were they coming to mind?
Oh, no, I didn't think about that until after landing. I had no confidence in our ability to get down safely yet. Mm-hmm. I didn't bother thinking about that until after landing. And of course, the first statement we made was the Eagle has landed.
Yes.
Tranquility Base Air, the Eagle has landed. And that was the signature line for achieving the presidential goal that we had been working for a decade on. And in our view, That was a very important statement. The getting down off, that was less important in our view, but it was significant. Now, he actually touched a boot into the sand and recognized that it's okay to stand there.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for man.
So you now then went and did the famous walk to plant the flag, but also to respect those that had been before and attempting to reach the moon and had been involved in the process. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
And so you went back to the craft, and it's then that I think you heard that there was a phone call for you.
Mm-hmm.
I am surprised.
They didn't say phone call. They said there's something special here.
Okay.
Yeah. I forget what
trying to modernise the story, but I'm wrong on that. So you've come back, and it's known to you that there's someone to speak to.
Yeah.
And you didn't say, look, I'm busy at the moment. You did take the call.
I did take the call.
And who was that?
And it was the President of the United States who was speaking from his office in the White House. And a very nice congratulatory message from the President on behalf of everyone who had worked on the project, and that was a surprise, a very pleasant surprise, and again,
yeah.
There was work to be done, so get back to job.
That's right. And so to the liftoff to return. An issue with the ignition that required some rudimentary innovation.
Yeah, when you're in the spacesuit and it's pressurized, it's very cumbersome. You're like the Frankenstein monster, and you have a big backpack back. And if you turn, that backpack is spinning around, and my colleague in one of these motions banged into the circuit breaker panel with his backpack, and there's a lot of circuit breakers over there, lots of ones, and so he could have picked something that was not very important, but he banged into the circuit breaker that controlled the SN engine that got us back into orbit. I think that when we recognized that, we thought it probably will hold, but maybe we better see if there's a way to increase our chances of making sure the circuit breaker wouldn't automatically disengage. So we took a piece of a plastic pen, a magic marker kind of pen, and made a little crutch to hold it in place with that.
I think if they'd asked any of the 400 plus million that were watching that they're just about to insert part of a pen to ensure they get home, they wouldn't have believed it. They wouldn't have believed it.
Well, I really think that had we not done that, we'd still been all right. But it was just insurance. It's nice to get a little insurance now.
Yes.